Welcome to Business Rescue with Begley's Trainer, a podcast designed to give you advice, reassurance, and assistance if you're a business owner struggling in these unprecedented times. COVID-19, coronavirus sweeping around the planet, as UK remains in lockdown for, well, who knows how long, the thoughts of business people worldwide are concerned not just with physical health, but their company's financial future. If you're one of those businessmen or women, I bet your brain is swirling with all sorts of questions. And here to try and help me make some sense of what might happen and how best to proceed with specific scenarios, an expert in corporate restructuring, General Krasner. General, thank you for helping. Despite being married to an accountant, I am one of those people who mostly glaze over and hit panic buttons whenever I hear any kind of financial wording. So please go easy on me. Tell me your background in this world.
Well, there's a lot of problems at the moment, aren't there? We're facing, I've used the word unprecedented, but it is because we're now in a world of globalization. We've lived through four or five recessions, some very severe. None of them was where the whole global economy would be affected. And parts of the economy, parts of the world are at different stages of this problem. I'm getting up to 10 calls a day from people I've dealt with over 40 years, accountants, lawyers, on behalf of their clients, giving me various scenarios. And no scenario is exactly the same. Your problem is not the same as your next door neighbor's problem. So what my job has always been is to start with a blank sheet of paper, no preconceived ideas, get a few facts down, what the basic facts are, what your problem is, do you have a business without the virus? And as a result of that, try and find a practical solution in what I call the real world, not the world of legalese textbooks, that you can apply with a bit of help, maybe not to get back to where you were last year, but to get back to a state where at least you're in business and over 1, 2, 3 years, you can slowly make your way back and move forward. Because I have a belief that the world we're going to enter into is not the world we left behind. Lots of things are going to change. People have got different values as a result of what's happened, that's for sure. And that has to be brought in. There will be new industries, there will be new businesses. And unfortunately, there will be businesses that do not survive.
It's a bleak picture for sure. Tell me how your background, I mean, I know that you've helped it. Things like football clubs and also in the world of motor racing. I suppose most notably the work being with Leeds United, but also Port Vale and Bournemouth, of those that you can mention anyway. Tell me how your background specifically relates to the future and how you can be a benefit to companies going forward.
Well, I could speak about Leeds United for the whole podcast. And the one thing I always say, if I made a film of it, we'd have earned enough money to pay off all the debts. But it was 100 and odd million in debt, which in football today is not a lot, but I'm going back 15 years. And for 30 years, I've been telling people what to do and they've taken my advice and more often than not worked. And somebody came to me. I was a Leeds fan. I lived in Leeds. What happens if Leeds go bust? And when I told them, I said, well, this can't happen. Let's do something about it. And I thought, it's about time I put my neck on the block. And we bought Leeds and the debts went from 103 million down to 24 million by cutting here, doing deals here. And then we'd used all our money and we sold it on and we sold it. And the gentleman who bought it put it into administration 2 years later. But it looks like, subject to the virus, Leeds could be promoted this season.
Well, fingers crossed.
It's the only job I ever did for no money. Bournemouth was a different case. It was a very small club, not really heard of in football, went into administration, and the chairman, to his credit, backed it. Every month I'd have a press conference, and at one of them, I was 5 minutes away. I was going to have to shut the club down at 12 o'clock because we had no money. I walked in not knowing what I was going to say, and then at the back of the room in walked the chairman waving his checkbook in the air and the club was saved and then it was sold and now it's worth 150 million. So it just shows you businesses need help. They need a lot of help at the moment. I've lived at the sharp edge I've gone to hopeless situations, some of which are hopeless, and you have to just bury those businesses. But I always say, if you come to me 6 months earlier or 3 months, I could have saved you. It's now 1 minute to midnight.
Yeah, that was something that I was going to ask about. I wonder when the best time to approach someone like yourself is. I'm assuming that you want a business to be proactive, to come to you when they see the initial signs and not, you know, stumbling in like an alcoholic when they've hit rock bottom and there's nowhere literally left to go, and admitting that they have an issue at that stage.
Best time to take advice is yesterday. Most people in my profession will do a first meeting for nothing, assess the problem, tell you what your alternatives is, and you don't pay till after you've agreed to go forward. So there is free advice available. There will be more free advice in the current epidemic. But we're on lockdown, most of us. Most of us are locked up and have time on our hands. And this time should be used wisely to plan for what you're going to do after lockdown. Because a lot of restaurants you've seen have gone bust or are going bust, but not all of them. But one thing's for sure, when we come out of lockdown, you're not going to go back to last year's takings in week one. You're going to have to plan maybe only 30% of turnover, 40%. How do you run your business on that? Now, very big business, the multi-businesses, the quoted companies, they've got a stack of advisors to help them. It's the people at the other end that need help, more help.
When you say in this period, businesses should be, you know, in the midst of lockdown, you should be taking time to look at certain things. Are there any easy wins that your small business can implement at this point in time?
There's never been an easy way. You have to, what is your business? Are you a taxi driver who can't drive? In which case, you've got a problem because you're self-employed. You're not going to get any money from the government till June. What do you do? You have to decide, are you going to go back into the taxi business or have you got other skills that can at least let you earn some money to put food on the table for your family? It's as simple as that. You don't need to be a genius. It comes down to the person you're dealing with. When I deal with people, and this is why it's harder at the moment, I like to go and see them and look in their faces and make a human judgment on them. Not quite so easy via the computer. You haven't got that human touch to make, because the human judgment is as important as the financial judgment.
I'm assuming then that when you're talking about the human connection, is there anyone that has ever come to you and you thought, do you know, I don't feel that I can work with this person or this company. There are issues here.
Right. The first meeting, I say, look, if you give me bad information, you get bad advice. If you lie to me, there won't be a second meeting. Simple as that. You have to bear your soul. If you're going to go to your creditors and people to deal with to move the business forward, you have to tell them the bad news as well as the good. And you sometimes find you get a story and it looks as though there's a solution. And then you find that the managing director has got a desk in one drawer which is full of invoices, is not put through. When I get to that stage, I have to say, I'm sorry, but you don't want to be helped. You've still got your head in the sand. You have to get your head out of the sand. The survivors of this pandemic will be the optimists, the entrepreneurs who are willing to see something and move forward and not be daunted. And I believe there is a future and possibly a different future, but just as valuable if people are willing to throw off the pessimism that there seems to be at the moment.
So businesses as they exist potentially have to pivot and change how they do things?
Some of them, yes. Some of them will not survive because there'll be no future for them.
At the moment then, they're in the midst of this financial turmoil because of coronavirus crisis. I suppose football clubs, going back to those, are a fairly good example at the forefront of that situation, facing months of paying out with no traditional form of revenue coming in. The financial implications, you've sort of stated they're going to be bleak, but what's it actually going to look like? What do you see it looking like once we get to the other side of this?
Well, I think we're going to come out gradually. I think we can already see it's going to be regional and by industries. I think they're going to try and get the manufacturing side moving, the construction side moving. The hospitality industry is in a very bad way. The restaurants, the hotels. The hotel groups are big. They've got reserves. Those reserves can be used together with government loans. The question is, what is the paying public going to do? Are we all going to get a shock and think we must put some savings aside for another rainy day? Or are we going to go mad and celebrate and put money into the economy? And hopefully it's a mixture of the two.
I think probably week one is when we go mad and celebrate and go to the farm.
I was going to say, the further north you go, the more it's likely to go mad.
If I'm going to come to you, if I find myself in a situation, you said the best time to take advice is yesterday. If I'm looking at the books and I'm constantly crunching numbers just now, and I'm thinking, right, I have an issue. I feel there's a business to rescue, but I need to take professional advice to see if I'm right. And I come to you, where do we go from there? What's the process?
Right. Well, let me talk about two jobs I've done since lockdown. One of them was at the beginning of lockdown, was a gentleman who got caught up in a company that went bust and had a lot of guarantees. He had a house, he'd set up a new business, and we put together a package which over 5 to 6 years will give his creditors a reasonable commercial return on the debt. And we then used a process to get that finally approved by the majority of creditors. And he said he's now had his first night's sleep in 4 months. The fact that that mental weight is lifted off. That has all been done via telephone calls, computers. I've not met the guy other than seeing him on, like I'm seeing you at the moment.
Believe me, it's the best way. Yeah. My instance anyway.
But he came over, the very honest guy who wanted to do his best because he could just gone bankrupt and had all the debt wiped out. The second is a guy who phoned me 2 days ago. Runs two very large pubs, restaurants, both on lockdown, one profitable, one not. Got investors with him, and he is now in the process of instructing me to produce alternative solutions for them to consider when they know that lockdown will be released. That will include the shareholders putting in some money, the bank putting in some money, the government putting in some money, clearing the old debt, maybe 50p in the pound, but going forward, paying everybody cash on delivery. So people will be employed, money will be going into the economy, people will enjoy eating and drinking in his establishment, hopefully. So these are the sort of things. You've got to come up with a realistic solution that works in the real world. And the fact we don't know when it starts is a bit of a hamper, because the longer lockdown goes on, the more businesses that won't survive.
Now, as well as the financial effects, or because of them, there's a hell of a lot of mental anguish throughout this period as well. Whether you're an employee or a business owner, I know that with my own family, we've seen members whose business, through no fault of their own, have collapsed. And I remember them telling me at the time they would see the mail coming through the letterbox and hit the carpet, and they would be frightened to open the letter for fear of...
That is a common thing, the failure to actually open the mail and find out what the problem is. And
now, I've also heard you say that you don't suffer from stress. Is it something you can teach? How do you help with the emotional side of it?
One of my blessings in life is that I have never lost a night's sleep over worry, although I've had plenty to worry about. I've had ups and downs, but I don't seem to be affected by stress. I go home, I have a hot shower, I go to bed, and in the morning there seems to be a solution to at least try. Now, most people can't go that way. And unfortunately, in my family, we had a suicide 7 years ago of my stepson, so I understand emotional stress. I understand how you can have moments of madness or illness. And I try and make people feel better about themselves. I'm not a professional at it. I just talk to them, treat them as a human being, explain. Well, I used to explain financially, there's worse things than going bust. It is not the end of the world. The end of the world is catching this virus and not surviving. So you put things in a perspective. But there will be a massive demand for counselling and people to help after we come out of lockdown. Population 60 odd million, maybe 40 million adults. Some are saying 25% are suffering. That's 10 million people. That is an unbelievable figure. We can't cope with that with the setup we have now. So we have to train people to deal with it. I'm very pleased to see the amount of community spirit that's come back. It's absolutely amazing. We had 3 years of Brexit, which tore us apart from families and towns and everywhere. The virus, if it's done anything, has brought the nation back in the main. And the young people, what they're doing, I hope that when we come out, we don't just put it aside, but this community supporting the local shop for a change. Don't buy all your groceries at Asda or Tesco. They can afford not to have it. You support your local businesses.
Yeah. Do you see yourself, you're talking about the emotional fragility of people who are in a position where their business is struggling. Do you see yourself as being able to be one of those people that can offer assistance purely in an emotional side? If we're talking about 10 million people who are in need of emotional backup, if you like, do you see yourself as being one of those people that can assist?
I can assist by pointing people in the right direction. I can talk to people on a certain level. I'm not an expert. I wouldn't claim to be an expert. I've had no training in it. But people come to me for advice other than financial. Let's put it that way. And it stays between me and them. And I have enough letters in my drawer of people thanking me, even when they've gone bankrupt, but for the humane way they've been treated, at least.
If the worst happens and a business does have to close its doors, the next steps for the employees and owners, you've mentioned retraining in the past conversation that we've had, where people have to pivot and go on to do something else. How does that work? How does that period unfold?
Before the virus, if a business was going to shut down and had a lot of employees, strictly the owner should have spoken to them before instructing us, but often they don't. We will come down, sit the employees down, explain the facts of life to them, give them forms to fill out for redundancy and everything, and help them because they're not the simplest forms to do. Unfortunately, we can't do it that way at the moment, so it's all at a distance. We then take over the closing down of the business, effectively. All the aggravation comes to us.
And in terms of employees possibly retraining for the future?
That's not something that we are required to do under the legislation. But if somebody asks me a question and I've got the answer, I'm going to give it to them. We used to go, and I used to go often, I used to work in Leeds a lot, where the clothing factories in the 70s and 80s were in trouble, and go and sit down with the staff, and you'd explain, if you've ever been to a clothing factory where it's going to close and they're not going to get paid wages that week, you sit between the staff and the door just in case they lose their cool. Because it got very, very emotional at times. They understood it was not our fault, but they had to feed their kids and wives and husbands. So you try and be diplomatic. You try and not be too official over it, but you've got to get them through the process. Now, I have to say, and it's not political, I think the government have done a reasonably good job of providing assistance in this time. You know, the amount of money that's just been found, who's going to pay for it is not the question that we pay. Somebody will have to pay for it, hopefully all of us in some way. And we have suddenly revalued certain jobs in the NHS and the care homes where people are on minimum pay. And hopefully that will change a bit. But it's not going to change overnight. It can't change overnight because that would make the situation worse.
Do you think, given the nature of coronavirus just now, and the fact that it is, and I know we keep using this word unprecedented, so many businesses are going to be struggling with no revenue coming in. Your part of the financial landscape, as a result, is bound to change. Presumably, you'll never have seen the volume of this amount of work for a start. What other changes do you see coming?
Well, you say that, we're quite quiet at the moment. Let me just clarify that. I'm getting 5 or 6 calls a day. 90% of them, the advice is hunker down. Let's see how long this lasts. Come back to me in September, August, June, when you know a bit more about what I've asked you to do. So at the moment, the number of actual companies going have not rocketed. They will rocket. So it's at the moment, it's quiet. We can give this assistance. There'll come a time when we'll be inundated. And there'll be a lot, I'm afraid to say, of scams and things like that. That goes with the territory. People say, we can get you out of all this problem, give us £2,000, et cetera, et cetera. So what I would say to anybody who's got a problem, do not part with any money up front whatsoever. There are people like me who you can get hold of, will give you some free advice. At some stage, we're going to have to charge, but not at the early stage, because we get more goodwill that way. And business at the moment is going to be about goodwill. Those businesses that built up goodwill with their suppliers will call that goodwill in when we go back to trading normally.
So in the immediate future, you're telling people to hunker down for the time being?
Most of them, because if you had a good business up to January, let's say you had a restaurant that was making money, and you've had to furlough everybody, there's absolutely no point going into liquidation or administration now until you know what the exit situation is. So what I tell them to do me a cash flow for the first 13 weeks of coming out of lockdown. Start with 30% turnover, build it up to 70% turnover. Can you at least break even in that and get some wages out of it? Because until I've got that information, I don't know which of the paths to point them down.
Mm-hmm. So that's the initial step when they're coming to you right this moment?
That's what a lot of them are, yeah. I say there's loans, there's grants. Have you applied for a loan? A lot of this you can do through your accountant, but you'll need me for the advice. But applying for loans and grants and the help with furlough wages, you don't need me. It's all there. Your accountant can do it. Whoever does your wages can do that bit. It's straightforward. The problem we have seen is that the government have released this money, but it hasn't got through the banking system. Mm-hmm. And these are things people will remember.
I know every business is different, but do you see a line in the sand or a tipping point whereby if lockdown continues after this stage, things will radically change? Is there a month?
I think there's a finite time we can be on complete lockdown. Because I think at the end of that time, there's no economy left to speak of. Mm-hmm. And the government have got an impossible decision. Do we save the economy or do we save a few more lives? And that's not one for the moment. But there was a horrendous statistic I saw yesterday. I don't know if you saw it, that I think we've got 14,000 deaths, which is terrible. The number of people under 45 with no ailments who have died is 11. Mm-hmm. Maybe we should be looking at a strategy of isolating the older people at risk from the younger people and let the younger people go back to work. If you're living in different, if you're in a house, if you're a 30-year-old couple in a house with a 3-year-old child, say, you could, with certain rules, go back to some form of work. It's starting the process, giving people some hope, giving a bit of optimism.
It's a tricky balancing act, isn't it? And it's not one for you to
whoever makes the decision cannot be criticized, because everybody would make a slightly different decision.
Yeah,
it's your life on the block, then you make a different decision.
In the midst of this current crisis, the best advice that you can offer for those businesses that are sitting out there and worrying?
I think the first thing I would say is get hold of somebody like me and give me your details, because the advice I will give will be depending on what details you give me. My email address will be going up on this, but mainly plot how you think you'd open your business for the first 3 months, do a cash flow by the week, putting in the necessary expenses just to, for the new business going forward. Forget what you owe at the moment. You've got to make the startup pay. It's got to pay the wages. It's got to pay the rent. It's got to pay you a wage. It's got to pay purchases. But there's no council rates. There's no VAT on the old stuff. That's all postponed. And then we can look at how you see your business opening. Compare it to my experience of the industry you may be in and give you some guidelines then as, number one, does it need amending? Number two, do you need to do it for a further period? And number three, what vehicle we should use to put this into place once we come out of lockdown? Because I think what will happen is there will be a lot of arrangements put forward on behalf of businesses and people will be inundated. And you have to put forward a commercial arrangement and your best offer. You can't just hope to get away with 5p in the pound or something. If you want, you need the approval of 75% by value of your creditors.
Good advice. Gerald, can I end by asking a personal question? Because I refer to this as a sort of Branson or Murdoch question. You're into the 70th year of your life now, or just above that. You don't need to get up and do this every day. What makes you get up and do this every day?
I enjoy it. It's not work to me. It's something I've been doing for getting on for 50 years now. And I still get up at 6 o'clock if necessary to get the early train to London, because I know each day will be a new challenge.
Thank you for joining me on this first episode of Business Rescue. If you do need help, Begbie's Trainer is there for you with experts in business restructuring as well as closure and financial options. They have 78 offices across the UK. You'll find them at begbies-trainergroup.com. That's Begbie's, BEGBIES-trainer, TRAYNOR group.com. And of course, with Gerald being the expert, the best thing you can do is contact him directly. How do we do that, Gerald?
Gerald.Krasner, KRASNER, at btguk.com. Now, the only thing I'd say is we have very severe firewalls on our emails for obvious reasons. If you've not got a reply to me, within 24 hours, it means I've not received your email. You can text me on my mobile phone and I'll get back to you then. So that number is 07836607782. Thank you very much.
Good luck with your business, and we'll see you next time on Business Rescue.